In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel reading from today came from our teacher, St. Luke, chapter 8. And it's the well-known parable of the sower that we've heard many times. And in this parable, our Lord said, after he explained the parable, he told them that he who has an ear, let him hear. And then after he told them the parable and told them these words, he explained to them what the parable was. He told them that the seed was the word of God. The seeds that were fell on the wayside are those that heard the word, but the devils came and snatched that word from them. And the rock were those that received the word of God with joy, but then when temptations came, they bear no roots and they died. And then those that fell among the thorns were those that were choked by the cares and pleasures and riches of the world. And then he tells them that the good soil was the soil that heard the word of God and bore fruit with it with patience. What's common among all of those types of different soil? What was common, besides the fact that they all received the seed, was that all revolved around choices that were made. If all of us are those different types of soil, how they received the word of God is how it was determined whether it bore fruit or not. And oftentimes, that basically boils down to the decisions we make. And the decisions we make occur in what part of time? In the past, the present, or the future? Which one? In the present. All the choices we make occur in the present moment. Although sometimes our choices might be premeditated and then we fulfill them, but the choice itself comes at the present moment. If I premeditate it, those premeditated choices often can be changed. Even with God, he premeditated to destroy Sodom, he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was willing to change his premeditated choice. Also, we look at the story of Jonah. God wanted to destroy the people of Nineveh. And that was his premeditation. But then when he said to Jonah to go and preach to them, and they did, and they repented in sackcloth and ashes, he refrained from doing what he had premeditated. So oftentimes the decisions and the choices we make, they occur in the present moment, although they may be premeditated, but the actual decision occurs right now. Just like if your child comes to you and you hear that, they did something, they failed the exam or something, and you're at work, you'll say, just wait till I get home, and I'm going to show them, yada, yada, yada. And then when you come home, and the kid apologizes and said, I'm sorry, I did wrong, I should do this, this, and this, maybe I shouldn't, fulfill exactly what I had in mind. So oftentimes, our decisions change. So, everything in terms of our decisions are made in the present moment. And the present moment, although it appears to be very minute and very small in a fraction of a second, in actuality, the present moment is infinite. There's one present moment after another. What's happened in the past is after this particular present moment. When I'm done with the sermon, it would be in the past. And what I have in my mind to say would be in the future. But nothing is actually actuated until I say it, until this present moment. So, why is it important for us to realize the present moment, or live in the present moment? That's what I want to speak about today, is living in the present moment. Why must I live in the present moment? What are the challenges that we face when we try to live in the present moment? And how do we seize the present moment? The importance of the present moment, it's very important. If you look at it, as we said, it's the place where decisions are made. The present moment is where we enjoy the sights and sounds of nature, of life. You know, when you listen to a song that you enjoy, you're enjoying it in the present moment. You might say, oh yes, but Abuna, I can remember the song and it brings me joy. Yes, but what's happening in your memory is you're recollecting a present moment that you had already lived. So the joy is coming from the experience that you had in a particular present moment. You're not reliving a present moment when you think about it. So it's a place where we enjoy sights and sound. The present moment is where we either choose to love or to hate. The present moment is the place where we either choose to live in peace or to be angry and upset with somebody that may have offended us. The present moment is the place where dreams and visions are fulfilled and the place in which history is actually written. So the present moment is the now. And I would like all of us to maybe spend the rest of today or spend today thinking about the present moment. What am I doing exactly at this moment? And you'll find when you read the stories of the saints and the fathers of the monks, they spend their whole life disciplining themselves to pray and meditate continually, meaning to pray and meditate in the present moment. In every present moment, God is there. God is present. So in essence, the present moment is the place or the interface between us and the rest of the world, the place where I experience everything outside of me. But ultimately, the present moment is the only place that we can contact God, or an individual can contact God. If you think about it, I can't contact God from my past experiences. I can't contact God in the future. I can't say, yes, I'm going to pray in the future and I'm going to contact God there. No, the only place that we meet God is now. So realizing and living in the present moment is very important. So what are some of the wars that are against us when we try and strive to live in the present moment, to live in the now? The first is the fear and worries about the future. The fear and worries about the future. Our Lord said on the Sermon on the Mountain, He says, "Therefore do not be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So living in the present is living in the moment of now, not living in what I perceive to be a problem in the future, or what problems can occur if this and this and this and this happens. Oftentimes, we spend so much of our time thinking of what could happen in the future. And sometimes this doesn't even come to fruition, but it's just a distraction for us to living in the moment. How many of us stand up to pray in the morning or in the evening, and as soon as we stand up to pray, maybe in the morning, we're thinking about what we're going to do in the day? What problems am I going to face in the day? What somebody told me at work or at school yesterday that, I have to face today. So we're often deterred or derailed from facing and living in the present moment by the fears and worries that we have of the future. If you look in the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they were going to be sentenced to death the next day. But the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 16, it tells them, "But at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Are you kidding? Singing and praying and singing hymns. Why? Because they were living in the present moment. It doesn't matter what tomorrow is going to bring. What really matters is the now. How am I reacting to this? They didn't, you know, if I was in that situation, or if anybody was in that situation, they would think about all the stress. So what, how is my family going to be taken care of? How is the rest of the ministry going to continue? I need to write something down to the church to be sure, you know, that they have their instruction. They didn't worry about any of this. They were worried about the now. And what better thing to do, and what better use of time of the now and the present moment than prayer and singing hymns and worshiping the Lord? So they seized that present moment. They said, "Let's pray." And they were singing hymns, although death was approaching them. So we shouldn't look at the future and be scared and worried what the future will bring. But let, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, just worry about the day, one day at a time. Let's not look forward to the future and to bring ourselves anxiety and depression and, you know, ikhtiab and everything just from, you know, worrying about the future. The second war that's against us when we try to live in this present moment is the recollection of negative past experiences and situations. Oftentimes we might fantasize or have fantasies about the past and maybe even the future. And this is basically just the condition of man. After we fell from paradise, this was the condition of man, and God was aware of it. You see this when the people of Egypt, when they left, when God freed them from Egypt and they were in the wilderness after some time, they looked back and said, oh, we should have went, you know, back in Egypt, we were eating well and everything. So they're fantasizing about the past and how they lived in the past and how great it was. You know, ever since I came to church, it's been just, you know, I haven't been happy, I haven't been this, I haven't been that. So they fantasize about their past experiences, and it keeps them from living the present moment, from enjoying God's presence now, by fantasizing these past experiences. And even after the flood, and after Noah and his children and wives were saved, Noah came down, offered a sacrifice, and God told him something that he already knew about man, but it reveals to us ourselves. He says, and the Lord smelled the soothing aroma of the sacrifice of Noah. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So God knows that we fantasize and our imagination is evil. But he's willing, you know, to still work with us. And what this fantasizing of the past experiences does, it deters us from living in the now. It makes us think about, oh, how did I live before? Also, the fear of uncovering maybe the past. Some people have a bad experience in the past, and they always fear that it will be uncovered, or they always live in fear that people will find out about it. And they live in this fear. And this fear might even develop into depression and hopelessness, where I feel like there's no way out. And actually in the liturgy, every liturgy that we pray for this. We ask God in the liturgy of St. Basil, he says, cleanse us from all blemish, all guile, all hypocrisy, and the remembrance of vice bearing death, or the remembrance of evil that bears death. Which you might say, but Sabuna, isn't it good to remember evil, or to remember the weaknesses of the past? Yes, it's okay to remember our weaknesses and the sins that we committed in the past, to keep ourselves, you know, humble and to keep ourselves searching for the Savior. But what we're praying about here is the evil that entails death, the evil that leads to hopelessness, to where there's no hope. Well, there's no point of coming to church because I'm at the point of no return. But I'll tell you, God, there's no point at which you can say there's no point of no return until we die. There's no sin that we can commit that is without repentance. And there's no repentance without forgiveness. There is no repentance without forgiveness. God is faithful and just to forgive us when we repent. And he says, St. Paul says, quoting from Jeremiah, he says, for I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So when we come to confess, he won't remember our sins anymore. Another war that wars against us when we try to live in the now and in the present moment is procrastination. And this is the putting off of things. I'll do it tomorrow. And if you can see the next... I guess the picture didn't show up there, but I had a picture that I put up there, and it had procrastination, and it had a blank page. It was just white, and it said, I'll fill in the picture later. And that's exactly what will happen. People that procrastinate, it's always the later. I'll do it later. I'll pray tomorrow. I promise I'll read. I won't read the Bible today. Abuna told me to read one chapter, so tomorrow I'll read two chapters. And then tomorrow comes, and you're like, I don't have an exam, or I was late at work. I'll read three chapters the next day. So one thing leads to another, and by the end of the year, you have to read the whole Bible in one day. And of course, that's not going to happen. So procrastination, I think, is one of the strongest wars that we face in our life, is just to put things off. And if we look at it, Christ himself addressed this. There were some disciples or some people that wanted to follow the Lord, and they wanted to go, before they, you know, followed him, they wanted to go bury their own. And it says, then another of his disciples came to him, and they said, Lord, let us go first and bury the dead. And then the Lord Jesus responded and said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. So he says, let the dead bury the dead, not mean, you know, just disregard those who are dead and not bury them. No. But he wants their response to be now in the present moment. Don't procrastinate and say tomorrow. Anytime we procrastinate and say tomorrow, then it, you know, this is kind of like in the equivalent in Arabic is like inshallah. You know, anytime you would go ask my parents anything and they'd say inshallah, this means, you know, forget about it. Maybe the next day, maybe never. It's just kind of like this inshallah attitude, and God willing, I'll do it tomorrow, and this and that. So this procrastination is wars against us very strongly. And St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, he tells them, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk at night. So he's saying, those who are watchful during the day, and those who are drunk at night. And it's interesting that he uses the example of people here that are drunk. Because when somebody's drunk, they lose touch with reality. People get drunk to lose touch with the problems and the issues that they're facing. So it's this loss of touch in reality. When we don't live in the present moment, it's as if we're being drunk, or it's as if we're drunk. We lose touch of the present reality, of the present moment. We forfeit this gift of the present moment that God has given us. So how do we seize the present moment? How do we seize the present moment? The first is to realize that healing can only occur in the present moment. Healing can only occur in the present moment. I read an article of a pastor who was writing his encounter with a homeless man. It says he went up and some homeless man asked him for some money. So before he gave him anything, he said, you know, he asked him, you know, how he was doing. And the homeless man was taken back and said, you know, this is the first time. I usually ask for money, they either say yes or no. This person is actually going to talk to me. So he starts talking with this man, and the man was just telling him about his history, about his, you know, past, and how, you know, he basically expressed about his past, he expressed some guilt. There was mistrust between maybe family members. There was remorse. There was sadness. There was grief. All of his past. And then he asked him about his future. And then when he asked him about what do you, you know, think in the future, what are your goals, he still expressed anxiety and tension and maybe some dread of what will come in the future. So he was very scared. So then he asked him a question, where are your problems right now? And he's like, well, I'm on the streets, I lost my house, I have no family, I have no job, I have this and this. And as he was describing this, he interrupted him and told him, so what is the problem that is causing you suffering right now at this moment? So then he began to think for a minute. He's like, actually, I'm okay at this very moment when I'm talking to you. So he's not suffering at the exact moment when he was talking to him. And it made this homeless man stop and think for a minute that my life is being played, and it's just being played out of fear. I'm not living in the moment of now. I'm really not suffering now. What I suffered, yes, in the past, and I'm suffering from the anxiety about the future. But actually at this moment, in my talking to you, I'm not suffering. So he realized that circumstances are not problems until we allow them to be. The circumstances that we live in don't become problems unless we allow them to be problems in our life. Like this homeless man. He was homeless and he lost his house and all these are all circumstances. But when he thought about the present moment, he didn't have any problems. So the circumstances, yes, are undeniable, they're there and they're real, but the problems are often made in our minds. So realizing that healing can only come in the present moment. This present moment is the present, is the time that we can change and the time that we can seek healing. We don't procrastinate. It's just like if you come and you have a big, you know, cut on your body, a big laceration, and you go to the doctor and you say, you know, I'm bleeding, can you help me? And he's like, well, I helped somebody yesterday that had the same problem. You'd be like, what is that? How does that help me? Well, it doesn't, because it was in the past. But then he says, okay, come in a week and I can help you. He's like, no, if I come in a week, I'm going to die from bleeding. So what's the solution? The solution has to occur right here in the present moment. He's got to clean it and stitch it up right now, or else I'll die. So if we don't live in the present moment, we're like this man who comes with, who's bleeding. If we don't seek help and healing now, then we'll either die because we're bleeding, or just knowing the fact that he helped somebody else is not going to help us at all. So we have to realize that healing comes in the present moment. The second is live the present moment, or living in the present moment is freedom. The current moment is often the most peaceable and the most productive than any fear-driven fabrication in our mind. So anything that we might have in our mind that we make some fear of, the present moment is usually the most peaceful. If you think about it, while you're praying, you have all the difficulties in life coming through your mind. But if you think about what's going on in prayer, how I'm standing before God in this present moment, and I can offer Him thanks and pray, this is actually a very peaceful moment. The third is to live every moment purposefully. To live every moment on purpose. This is harder than it really sounds. It's just like if I were to ask you, you know, what you ate for, you know, dinner last Sunday. Probably half of us wouldn't remember. Or even maybe might just yesterday. So often we just kind of live our lives and we just go along as if we're on a roller coaster. But if we live every moment purposefully and we think about it and, you know, we do every action on purpose and we act and we think before we react, then you're living, you know, purposefully. You're living in the present moment. And you have total awareness of what's going on. St. Paul said to the Ephesians, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. What does redeeming the time mean? It means living in the present moment, not wasting time. You have the present moment to live, let's live it. So living every moment purposefully. The fourth is avoiding procrastination. I don't think that requires much, you know, elaboration, because when we put things off, they don't get done. And I think we've all had enough experience with that in our life. The fifth, you know, point and to seize the opportunity is to realize that repentance can only occur in the present moment. Repentance can only occur in the present moment. Oftentimes we, you know, we might be in tasbihah or we might be, you know, at home praying and we feel like we need to repent. Don't waste that opportunity. Repent. Sit down with yourself. Write down what you want to repent of, and sit with yourself, and you know, repent and repent within yourself, and write them down. And then when you come to Abuna in confession, you can read him, you know, what you had written down. But don't waste the moment of repentance, because repentance only happens now. And that's why all of us know, and we're taught in the Bible that once our life on earth here ends, there are no more chances. Our chances are up. The bell will ring, and what's done is done. Our book will be closed, and what was written was written. So the repentance, we should not delay for tomorrow or the next day or when I speak with Abuna. But we should sit, and when we have the desire to repent, repent right now. Write them down. We have cell phones. We have paper and pens available everywhere. Write them down and sit with yourself. Don't delay repentance. The sixth thing is to see Christ everywhere. How do we seize the present moment? By seeing Christ everywhere. I'll read two quotes. One is an Orthodox scholar, Alexander Schmemann. He says, the Christian is the one who, wherever he or she looks, everywhere sees Christ and rejoices in him. we are to go out then from the liturgy and see Christ everywhere. So the Christian is the person who sees Christ everywhere, who sees Christ in everyone. And Mother Teresa said also the following, I believe in person to person. Every person is Christ to me, and since there is only one Jesus, that person is the one person in the world at that moment. So she sees Christ in everyone. So everyone that she speaks with, she pictures as if she's speaking with Christ. So there's nothing in the world that would distract her from that moment, from living in that moment, than the person who is in front of them. So when you see Christ in everywhere, in every situation, this helps you live in the present moment. You see things as they truly are. And the last and final thing is to set aside quiet time. To set aside quiet time for me, between me and God. Preferably in the morning. 5 minutes is all it takes. You sit, open the, say a small prayer, read maybe one verse in the Bible, meditate upon it, offer your prayer to God, and spend that quality time with God and Him alone. Outside any distractions, outside anything from work, just when your mind is fresh, maybe in the morning. So unless we set aside a quiet time with God and a time of retreat with Him every day, it's very easy to lose sight of Him. It's very easy to lose sight of, you know, seeing Christ everywhere. So we have to set, you know, this quiet time for us to meditate and to spend with God. Saint Isaac the Syrian says, prayer is preceded by quiet time, and quiet time can be practiced prayerfully. From both, we get the love of the love for God. There are in both motivation for loving Him, as love is the fruit of prayer. So you see how the prayer and the quiet time go hand in hand, and how it develops in us a love for God. So if we look at the present moment, although it seems very short, it's actually eternity. So let's not procrastinate and, you know, put things off till tomorrow, but let's look at the now, look at the present moment and seize the present moment and realize that I must live in the present moment to be productive and to fulfill the goal that I have of attaining unity with God. Yes, we will have challenges in this world and trying to live in the present moment, but realize that God has allowed us and given us the freedom through Him to overcome all of these challenges and to be able to experience Him in the present moment. May God grant us all the ability and the blessing and the grace and the strength and to live in the present moment and to see Him everywhere. And glory be to God forever. Amen.